This morning's scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." These are our sacred stories. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. Jesus looked with compassion. Compassion because they were harassed. They were harassed. These words are almost comedic in context. The chapter begins, and after getting into a boat, he crossed the sea and came to his own town. Really, he's getting back into a boat. He was just in a boat with the disciples when a storm came. The frightened disciples wake exhausted Jesus, who rebuked the winds and the sea and restores calm. He's met on the other side of the water with what the gospel writer calls demoniacs. After taking care of that using some bystander pigs, Jesus gets back on the boat and crosses again, this time to his hometown. Is he planning to visit his mama, have some home cooking, get some rest? Whatever his plan, it's interrupted because he's met on the other side yet again by people carrying a paralyzed man. When Jesus sees their faith, he says to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus' words get him into trouble with the scribes, who accuse him of blaspheming. He challenges, "Which is easier to say, stand up and walk, or your sins are forgiven?" The paralyzed man stands up and walks, and Jesus moves along. He doesn't get very far until he sees Matthew, the tax collector, sitting in a tax booth. And then, with newly made disciple Matthew in tow, the now full complement of 12 disciples sit down to dinner with many tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus cannot even finish his first bite when the Pharisees challenge, "Why does your teacher eat with sinners and tax collectors?" And Jesus responds, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." After dinner, instead of dessert and coffee, more challenges, this time about fasting, way to harsh the after-dinner mellow. Their exchange is interrupted by a leader of the synagogue who comes to the group begging Jesus to help his sick daughter. Jesus leaves dinner and follows him, but on the way to the girl, he is stopped by a woman who's been bleeding for years. The woman touches his cloak. They have an exchange. She is healed, and then on they go to the girl. Crowds have gathered. The girl is cured. And then, before Jesus can even get a few yards away, two blind men follow him, crying out loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Their eyes are opened, and then there's a mute who now can speak, and then more challenges from the Pharisees, and then finally, at the end of the chapter, today's lection. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees and he has compassion. Compassion because they were harassed. Jesus sees them and has compassion. Jesus, who can't get a moment's rest. He can't even sleep on the boat. The disciples wake him in panic. He can't get from one crisis to the next without being swarmed by people, healing and teaching on the way to more healing and teaching. "I'll go home," he thinks, sighing with thoughts of his mama's cornbread and a Sabbath afternoon nap. But even this is denied him. If anyone in this story is harassed, it's Jesus. He can't even sit down and have a meal with the disciples. Always there they are, always. People in need, the crowds. those challenging him. But somehow, Jesus sees them and has compassion, seeing that they are harassed and helpless. How does he do it? How is he able to find compassion with so much bearing down on him? I can't speak for Jesus, but I know that I'm less able to be compassionate when I'm tired and overwhelmed. Feeling harassed myself, I'm challenged to look with compassion on others. Karen Armstrong, author of many books on comparative religion and creator of the Charter on Compassion, in her book, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life, calls the 11th step recognition. In that chapter, she writes about Christina Noble, who experienced a traumatic and destitute childhood in the streets of Dublin, Ireland. At a very unhappy time in her life, Christina had a powerful dream. She describes, "Naked children were running down a dirt road, fleeing from napalm bombing. One of the girls had a look in her eyes that implored me to pick her up and protect her and take her to safety. Above the escaping children in her dream was a brilliant white light that contained the word Vietnam. From that moment, Christina was convinced in a way she could not understand that it was her destiny to go to Vietnam and that one day she would work with the children there. Years later, in 1989, she made her first trip to Vietnam. One day, while she was watching two destitute little girls playing in the dirt of the street, one of them smiled at her and tried to hold her hand. Christina was immediately overcome with memories so painful that she tried to walk away. She wanted no more grief, no more involvement. Yet all the time she was saying to herself, there is no difference between an Irish gutter and a Vietnamese gutter. At the end of the day, they are the same. Suddenly, past and present came together, and Christina realized that the Vietnamese girl was the child she had seen so long ago in her dream. Sobbing, she sank down in the dirt and pulled the children onto her lap, promising to take care of them. Noble became a crusader for the street children in Vietnam, establishing a foundation that enabled her to open the Children's Medical and Social Care Center in Ho Chi Minh City in 1991. There are now foundations supporting the center in France, the United States, and Australia. Her friends had told her that she was attempting something impossible, that she was only one person. But Christina said, "When I was a child, I needed only one person to understand my suffering and pain. One is very important." When Christina looked into that child's face, she saw herself. She realized that there was no us and them. She was able to connect. She was able to look with compassion. Another boat ride, another crowd, always more. Work that is never done. So much suffering. Maybe Jesus was able to train his eyes to see the individual in the masses, to consider the story that created each person, each body broken or whole, each face smiling or shamed. Maybe compassion is about looking for the stories that connect us. This work is never finished. We are always training, always opening, always seeking to look with compassion. This kind of compassion does not need a dream or a far-off land. It is our work, our here and now work. When our children are arguing while the timer on the oven is going off and the phone is ringing. This looking compassion remembers that they've had a difficult and beautiful day too. This is the compassion we seek when our spouse of 40 years repeats the same story yet again, while searching for a word that cannot be remembered. This is the compassion with which we look upon our own selves, our own flawed and perfect, beautiful selves. This kind of compassionate vision seeks to understand and connect. It seeks to give the benefit of the doubt. It looks with curiosity rather than judgment. This type of seeing is not easy. In fact, Jesus doesn't always accomplish it. Remember the Canaanite woman from Matthew chapter 15? She begs Jesus for mercy for her daughter, but he denies her, saying, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she says to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answers her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. You see, sometimes we need help, even Jesus. The woman helps Jesus to see. She helps him see with compassion. Sometimes we all need help seeing this way. Compassion is connected with justice, with mercy. Compassion confronts injustice. It challenges stereotypes and prejudices. It invites new ways of seeing and then acting. Once our eyes are opened, then our hands must open too. Jesus doesn't simply see. He doesn't simply feel compassion. He gets involved. He works for healing and wholeness and justice. He challenges others toward a compassionate life. Consider his words to the scribes and the Pharisees. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice. It is not the well who need a physician, but the sick." Jesus encourages us toward compassion with his actions, his teaching, his challenges, and his learning. He shows us, and then he begs for our help. This morning's lection and this chapter concludes with Jesus saying to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." The labor of compassion is desperately needed. The fields are full of suffering and pain. Rather than empathy and connection, we know so much of hate, of distance, of othering, of violence. Jesus sees the crowds and has compassion. So much compassion that he realizes he cannot do it alone. He says to the disciples and to us, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." May it be that we are among these few, the ones opening our vision, seeing us instead of them, looking compassion, however harassed we may be, looking compassion on ourselves and others. Amen.